Hey, good morning, everyone. How many guys went to the men's conference last weekend? Yeah. Was it good? Did you enjoy it? Yeah. And we have another one actually coming up. We had so many men signing up to come to our men's conference that we've had to do two now. We had 50 guys on a wait list last year, so we're going to do another one May 2nd through the 4th. So we'd love to see you there if you want to. Ladies, we also have an amazing women's conference that happens in October. And I think some of you have been there. I think I've seen some of you there. And that's an amazing time as well. By the way, if you know of any 16 to 18-year-olds that would like to be leaders in training at Frontier Ranch this summer, we are looking for more students to come to do that. And 18 to 24-year-olds, we're looking for counselors right now for the summer. And so if you want to get rid of your kid for the summer, and or if you want to get rid of your parents for the summer, you can come and we pay you, actually. And it's really an amazing time at Frontier Ranch. So let me pray for us right now and we'll get going. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for that amazing worship, this team. And thank you for the staff here and the leadership team that is steering this ship right now. We ask, God, your hand of blessing, Lord, as they are looking for that next shepherd, that next pastor that will be coming here. We ask for a breakthrough for this church in that. But, Lord, in the meantime, empower the staff and the leaders that are here. They're doing such a great job, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to be today. And I prayed for them, but can you all just thank your pastors and leaders right now for the great job that they are doing and encourage them? They're doing a fantastic job. I mean, to hear him say, wow, we're doing really good in the offerings, and then you don't even pass a plate to even collect anything. That's fantastic. So, well, if you're in Romans chapter 8, there were 25 pastors that were asked, if you were stranded on an island and you only had one chapter of the Bible that you could have with you for the rest of your life, what would it be? And all of them almost said Romans chapter 8. Why? Because Romans chapter 8 might be the most encouraging chapter in the Bible. And as we begin today, let me ask a question among the room. Are you ready? Who here would like a little bit more encouragement in your life? Can I see your hands? Man, I know I do. Well, welcome to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it is all about saying never underestimate what you have going for yourself if you are a Christ follower. Never underestimate what you have. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I heard the story of a guy. He has a kind of a funny name. His name is Ub. That was his first name. His last name wasn't any better. Iwerks. And years ago, this guy had it made in the shade. He owned 20% of the stock of Walt Disney. At the very beginning, he was with Walt at the very beginning, but he didn't like the direction Disney was going, so he sold his stock for $2,900. $2,900. If he had held on to his stock for the rest of his life, he would have made $750 million. He underestimated the assets that he had. And in Romans chapter 8, it teaches us this is what you have going for you if you are a follower of Christ. Now, let's start with the setting. In Romans chapter 8, guess what? It precedes in Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7, if Romans 8 is the most encouraging chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 7 is the most discouraging chapter in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, at the very end of Romans chapter 7 says, what a miserable, wretched man am I. You ever said that about yourself? You ever said that about your husband? No, I'm kidding. All right. In other words, in Romans chapter 7, it's all about defeat and discouragement and disillusionment. And what's the problem with Romans chapter 7? And your pastor here was talking about anger and frustration just a little bit ago. We need to pray for him. Man, I sensed that when you're up there, you're just hitting your guitar really hard. So we're praying for you. Is that an issue in your life? Okay. I don't want to go there. Okay. In Romans chapter 7, get this. The key word, it goes all the way through the chapter, is the word I. It is mentioned 47 times in Romans chapter 7. And this is a huge theological statement. When I am at the center of my life and not God, I'm in for a life of discouragement and defeat and anger. When I do not have God's perspective on my life, I am doomed for a life of rejection and literally discouragement throughout my life. And that's Romans chapter 7. Let's close in prayer. No, let's keep going. The answer to Romans chapter 7 is Romans chapter 8. And the key word that is there in this chapter is the word Spirit. And it occurs 19 times. In Romans chapter 7, Paul is defeated. He's discouraged. But in Romans chapter 8, it's the exact opposite. Defeat is replaced by victory and hope. And I want to ask you this question. What is essential to turning discouragement, depression, despair into confidence and peace? It's right here in Romans chapter 8. And it breaks down into four sections. And I'm going to give two words for each one of those sections. So first, here's what Paul is saying that you have going for you if you are a follower of Christ. Are you ready? Number one, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. In other words, Romans 8 starts off by saying, even though I am a wretched man, even though I am a wretched woman, equal opportunity here, okay? I can live guilt-free. Who would like to live guilt-free? Anybody in here? I know I do. Notice the good news here. He starts out and says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. You know what this verse is saying? What we're about to read can happen right now. Therefore, there is, what does it say? Now, present tense. What we're about to talk to isn't something that can happen in the future. You can walk out of here guilt-free, shame-free, forgiven of your sins now, the Bible is saying to us. And that is good news. Now, it says there is now no condemnation for those who, and what is the qualification, who are in Christ Jesus. Now, by the way, that's the Apostle Paul's favorite phrase, in Christ Jesus. He begins it in Romans chapter 8. He ends Romans chapter 8 by saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is what? In Christ Jesus. Over 164 times in the New Testament, Paul writes about in Christ Jesus. Now, why does Paul start Romans 8? By saying there is now no condemnation. There is now no need to carry past guilt. Why does he start that way? Because all of us tend to carry throughout our lives past guilt. Many of us drive through life looking through the rearview mirror, and we're constantly looking back at things that we said, things that we did, things that were done to us. And Paul is saying, listen, there is now no condemnation. It's like the story of the two brothers. They were 8 and 10 years old, and they were terrible. Anything that happened bad in the city, everybody knew it was these two little knucklehead guys. So the mom heard a pastor came to town that was really good working with kids. And so she called him up, can you meet with my boys? And he said, yes, I'll meet with them one at a time. And the youngest son went first. And he went into the office, and here was this big pastor, and he had a desk in front of him. And he said, sit down. And the kid sat down, and he looked at the kid, and he says, where is God? And the little guy, 8 years old, he just looked at him. And he says, where is God? And the little guy was looking at him, and he said, young man, where is God? And the little guy got up, He ran out of the office. He ran home, got into his house, ran upstairs into his closet. And the older brother came to him and said, what happened? He goes, you're not going to believe this. He goes, what? He said, "That God is missing and they think we took him." Well, in Romans 8, notice this. It does not say there is therefore now no mistakes made by those who are in Christ Jesus. You will never ever make a mistake again. That's not what it says. You will not be perfect on this side of heaven. But let me tell you the good news. God is in the business of not condemning. He's in the business of saving. You know that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know John 3:17? I did not send the son into the world to condemn the world. I sent the son into the world to save the world through him, right? So God is about in the business of saving and restoring. I actually believe that's why Paul put Romans chapter 8 in this part about no condemnation first, because look at verse 2 if you have it in your notes. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Who wants this for your life? Who wants to be freed from the power of sin that you have that is over your life? The Bible teaches that this can happen now. Here's what he says. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Everyone look up here. We were given the Ten Commandments, but nobody could fully obey the Ten Commandments. And it says here, the law of Moses was unable to save us. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his only son, his own son, in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, Jesus's, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Listen to this. We did the dying. We did the sinning. I'm sorry. We did the sinning. Jesus did the dying. It was our sin that put Jesus up onto the cross. Look at verse 4. Why did he do this? He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. How many of you ever gotten a traffic ticket? Can I see your hands? Okay. And did you go before the judge? Yeah, have you ever done that before? How many of you have ever been before a judge? I'm just going to tell you, I have. Okay. What would it be like? You go before the judge and the gavel goes down and they say, the judge says guilty. And all of a sudden you hear, oh, your honor, I got this one. I'll take his place. I will take her place. How many would have loved that, right? Yeah, me too, right? I will take their place. And the Bible teaches, therefore, there is now no condemnation because of Jesus Christ. How many are glad for that? Can I see your hands? Well, Paul goes on to number two. Not only is there no condemnation, it's going to get even more encouraging. Elbow the person next to you and say, wake up. It's getting good right now, okay? Yeah, well, you don't have anybody. Okay, here, yeah, elbow me right there. Okay, all right. There is no limitation. In other words, I can live with God's power to change. Who here desperately wants to change something in your life that continues to hold you down and hold you back? I know I do. I actually believe that the four most discouraging words you can ever say to another person, you will never change. You say that to somebody, it chains them to the past and anchors them to a life of defeat, and it erases all future hope. But Romans chapter 8 says, not only does God have the power to help change you from the inside out, there is absolutely no limitation to the change that can take place in your life if one thing happens. Are you ready for this? I'm telling you, this is going to be worth the price of admission today. Are you ready? If you change one thing, we have to change our minds. And this is huge. Paul says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, and why do they live that way? Because they think about sinful things. In other words, Paul is saying, when you become a Christian, God wants to change your life, and there's no limits that God can do. But if you keep the same mindset you had before you were a Christian, you will never change. And then he goes on and says this, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Would you just jot this down? Are you ready for this? The key to victory in your life is in what you think. The key to the victory that you want in your life is in what you think. Could it be this invisible war that every single one of us has going on, that we're fighting every day? It all happens first in our minds. How many agree with this? Are you getting this? Okay. And here's the problem. Most people have uphill hopes, but they have downhill habits. Our habits take us out. And Paul is saying, your mind is so critical. And he's saying, if you welcome Christ into your life, you become a Christian, but there's no change in your mindset, what you're watching, what you're reading, what you're listening to. You continue to put the negative into your mind. You, the Bible says, you're a Christian. You might be saved. You're going to heaven, but you won't change. You won't have that victory and peace in your life because you haven't changed your mindset. Paul is saying, you showed me somebody's mindset and what they think about, and I'll show you their actions. Our minds are so critical. And notice this next verse. It's about God's unlimited power to change you. You ready for this? The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Listen, don't ever underestimate when you received Christ and his Spirit into your life. If you welcomed him, Christ dwells within you. You and I can have access to that very power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? And Paul is saying in section 1, Romans 8, there's absolutely no condemnation who are found in Christ Jesus. Number 2, there's no limitation on what God can do in changing my life. He can change your life. Listen, he can change your emotions. He can change your marriage. He can change your future. But it all begins right here in what we're thinking in our minds. So far in Romans chapter 8, we've seen if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no limitation. Look at number 3. It's getting better. Are you ready? I know you're getting excited. Okay, number 3, there is no desperation. There is no desperation. Paul is literally saying here, I can live with hope in my life no matter what happens. Now, why is he saying this? Because life is tough, right? Every single one of us, we can go through tough times. Life can get messy. And what do you do with the serious tragedies of life? How do you live with hope today? And Paul is saying you can live with hope no matter what happens if you rely on 3 things. Get ready to write. Number 1, you rely on God's promises. And he's actually referring to an eternal promise. Friends, listen, this isn't our final destination. We do have another destination, and it will be with God in heaven one day. But notice in this verse, I consider that our present sufferings. Now, I want to pause here. Some people say, what does Paul know about suffering? Right? I mean, what does he know? He's one of those Bible characters. He walked 3 feet off the ground. He was bulletproof. He had angels around him. What does Paul know about sufferings. Well, Paul had major trials. In 1 Corinthians, it says he was shipwrecked twice, beaten five times, left for dead twice. He was stoned with rocks. Okay, he was stoned with rocks. Okay, he was whipped. He was put in jail. This guy's life was one tragedy after another. And what does Paul say about that? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. You know what he's saying? There is a glory that will be revealed to us one day, and we will be living in a real live heaven in eternity with Jesus forever. Three buddies one time, they were discussing death, and one guy asked the other two, what would you like said at your funeral? Have you ever thought about that? What would you like said at your funeral? First guy says, well, I'd like them to say I was a great humanitarian. I cared for my community. The second guy said, I'd like people to say he was a great husband and a great father who's an example for many. And the third guy said, let me tell you what I want said at my funeral. Look, he's moving. Okay, that's what he wants said. Okay, in other words, is there any good news beyond this world? And the answer is yes. When Christians understand this, they begin to realize they can have hope and an optimism that people who don't know God just don't understand. I remember a few years ago at another church that I was at, I was serving as a youth pastor. There was this woman, she was 81 years old, her name was Betty. She was an ex-nightclub singer, okay? She's 81 years old, and she came to Christ late in life. And I'm telling you, she loved the Lord, and we would allow her to sing. And when she'd sing, How Great Thou Art, she would sing it like an ex-nightclub singer. And she's 81. She'd be up there just dancing and stuff. And we, the church, loved her. Well, Betty was in the hospital, and we heard that she might just have a few days to live. And so I took my whole youth staff, nine of us. We went over to visit her. We surrounded her and just wanted to encourage her and talk to her. And I asked her, I said, Betty, how are you feeling? And she says, oh, Chuck, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I know that when I breathe my last breath, I'm going to be with Jesus, and I'm going to get to see my friends. And Chuck, I'm hoping to see you there real soon. I said, no, let's slow down on that one, Betty, okay? So I read some scripture over her, and we prayed for her. And as we were leaving, she said, can I do anything for you? The nine of us were ready to leave. I said, yeah. Would you sing us a song? And she, this ex-nightclub singer who gave her life to Christ late in life, lying in her bed, she started belting out, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Do you know it? This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And just a few days later, Betty breathed her last breath, but she took her first breath in eternity. And that, my friends, is an eternal promise that the Bible gives to all of us that know Jesus Christ. Now listen, that's not all you get to lean on when those who are in Christ. Number two, you can rely on God's prayers. Check this verse out. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know how we ought to pray. In other words, prayer is essential in tough times. Somebody sent me this. Johnny went with his mom and dad over to grandma's house for dinner. Little Johnny received his plate of food and started to eat right away. And Johnny's mom said, Johnny, wait until we say our prayers. And the little boy looks at his mom and said, I don't have to. And the mom said, of course you do. We always say prayer before we eat at our house. And Johnny said, that's at our house. This is grandma's house, and she knows how to cook. So that's a great line. Listen, if you want to write down something and take this away, are you ready for this? Write this down and maybe think about this later. Prayer is the decompression chamber of life. Prayer is the decompression chamber of life. And the Bible says in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit of God Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. In other words, God's Spirit looks deep down inside every one of our hearts. He sees stuff that we can't even express and put words to because of our pain or our hurt. You don't even know what to pray. But the Spirit of God prays for you on your behalf when you're going through tough times. Listen, you have God's promises. You have God's prayers. And lastly, in tough times, you have God's purposes. In other words, when life falls apart, what happens? Romans 8:28. Probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. And we know that in all things, listen to this, he doesn't say for all things. Some of you are going, I have to be thankful for God in this situation. And the Bible is saying, yeah, in this situation you can't invite God into, but it's not that God created and did all these bad things in your life. Life happens. Why not take God alongside with you in the midst of that? I want you to write two words down on your outline right now somewhere. In tough times, here's two words. Tough times are either going to develop you or they're going to destroy you. They will develop you. Romans 8 is trying to teach us when trials and tragedies and troubles hit, they will either develop you, they will produce more compassion in your life for hurting people. It will draw you closer in trusting God. They will develop you, or I've seen it over and over again. They can destroy you. And Paul is saying, I want tough times. This is what Paul's saying. So that I can be developed into the person that God wants me to become. To know that God is praying for you, but realizing that even in tough times, God has purpose. And listen what God's ultimate purpose is for your life. Are you ready? You came here, you're going, I don't even know what my purpose in life is. I'm going to read it to you right here. For God knew His people in advance. Here's His purpose for your life. He chose them to become like His Son. If you wanted to know what your purpose in life is, as you welcome Christ into your life, God's purpose is that you would become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them the right standing with Him. And having given Him the right to stand, He gave them His glory. God's ultimate purpose for you is that you would become more like Jesus. Listen, God may not have caused that pain in your life, but He can take that pain and turn it around for good. When your life goes down to nothing, God is up to something. God can take that pain and God can turn it around. I believe that. There is no desperation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. There is no limitation. There is no desperation in your life because of Romans chapter 8 and who Jesus is. And then there's the last. Are you ready? There is no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I can live with incredible security because I am loved now and forever. Why? Because nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. You may have done something this week. You may have said something this week and you're going, oh man, I don't know, God. I don't even forgive me for that one. There is no separation. Are you ready for this? Unbelievable verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. And he says here, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That word conqueror in the Greek, are you ready for this? It's the word Nike. Nike. If you think of the sports, you know, brand Nike, Nike means conquerors. Here's what Paul is saying. We are hupo Nike if we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Isn't that incredible? That's so great. For I am convinced neither death nor life nor angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, anything else in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get a big amen? No matter what you go through in life, realize that if you are in Christ, God is for you. He forgives you. You are dead to sin. You are alive to God. He's working on your behalf. He wants to give you power to help change things in your life. And most of all, nothing can separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Well, this whole passage that we just talked about, it lays out the good news of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Listen, friends, if you're here this morning and you're saying, man, I need a relationship with God like that. I need freedom from guilt. I need a brand new start. I need forgiveness. I need to know that I'm going to heaven. I need that promise. I need God's power to change my life, my marriage, or a hurtful relationship. Why not right now? There is now, right now, no condemnation. Why not say yes to Jesus Christ? I'm going to pray a very, very simple prayer. And if that's what you need this morning, would you just pray this with me? And if you need a new start, a fresh start with your walk with Christ, pray this silently while I pray out loud. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Pray this from your heart. Even when I was far away from you, please forgive me for all my sin and be my Savior. Come into my life and change my life. Be my Lord and make me the person you want me to be. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but if you just prayed that prayer and welcomed Christ in your life, wanted a fresh start, would you just simply raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you this morning. Raise your hand. Great. I see that around the room. Awesome. Wow. It's great. Lord, thank you for those here, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the believers in this church that Lord, for this very moment have been praying for many, many in this church right now to have this change in these wonderful brothers and sisters' lives. And I pray for them right now that welcomed you into their lives. I pray they can know you are for them. You're not against them. You've just forgiven them. You love them. I pray, Lord, you'd fill them with your peace. Thank you, God, so much. And thank you for this church. Continue to protect this church. Continue to pour out your Spirit onto this church and its leadership, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, can we thank God for the many in the room that welcomed Christ in their lives? Isn't that great? Welcome to the family.